seat bed and it left. And I still have no dementia. When it happened, I couldn't help bringing up her effing red hair summer, her scalloping face and patterned dress. I couldn't help wondering if we could have done something more at that time. Or what could we do? She used to be around in the passage there with me all day, and honestly, it was all I could do to get a word out of her. She didn't even talk to your father very much, although I think she liked him in her way. What happened, I asked. Either her husband left her, or she left him, my mother said. I don't know which. Anyway, she came back here with two youngsters, both only babies. They must have been born very close together. She took half, I guess, and I saw some of her brothers down in the valley there, near Old Tom Airport. I used to see her on the street sometimes, but she never spoke to me. She put on an awful lot of weight, and she looked a mess, to tell you the truth, a real spasm, dressed any old hair. She had been caught a couple of times, drunk and disorderly, of course. One time in that last winter, during the coldest weather, the cat was alone in the shack with the children. They told her to be hungry all the time, so I thought, and as I said later, she'd been drinking most of the day, when he and the boys went out that evening. They had an old wood stove there, you know the kind, with exposed pipes. The shack caught fire, the cat didn't get out, and neither did the children. But in my fancy, so often with the cat, there did not seem to be anything to say. There was a kind of silence around the image in my mind, and the fire and the snow, and I wish I had a bit from my memory the look that I had seen once in the cat's eyes. I was up to Diamond Lake for 2 days that summer, with Mavis and her family. The McCart cottage had been sold after my father's death, and I did not even go to look at it, not wanting to witness my long ago kingdom possessed now by strangers. But one evening I went down to the shore by myself. The small pool which my father had bought was gone, but in this place there was a large and solid pillar built by the government, and Diamond Mountain was now a national park. And Diamond Lake had been renamed Lake Wapakata, but it was still an Indian name without a great appeal for tourists. The one store had become several dozen, and the settlement had all the attributes of a flourishing resort, hotels, a dance hall, cafes with neon signs, the penetrating odors of potato chips and hot dogs. I sat on the government pier and looked out across the water. At night, the light at least was the same as it had always been, darkly shining and burning with its bright glass as streaked with amber, almost a part of the moon. There was no wind that evening, and everything was quiet all around me. It seemed too quiet, and then I realized that the loons were no longer here. I listened for some time to make sure, and never went did I hear that long-drawn call, half-mocking and half-plaintive, spewing through the stillness across the lake. I did not know what had happened to the birds. Perhaps they had gone away to some far place of belonging. Perhaps they had been unable to find such a place and had simply died out, having ceased to care any longer whether they lived or not. I remember happy cats had storms to come along when my father and I sat there and listened to the lake birds. It seemed to me now that in some unconscious and totally unrecognized way, the cat might have been the only one, after all, who had heard the crying of the loons.